This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Reps are valuable. You know, there's competition going on every position. Running back's one of the spots where we're looking for the guy to step up and take control of it. Some guys have been out, so that's given other guys an opportunity to do well. Was really impressed with Gabe Urban in the scrimmage. Jockey Ant did some good things. So while some of these guys are nursing some injuries, it's given some other guys the opportunity to make some plays.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Ryan Washett, and Nate Klaus. Time to take your questions in the mailbag. You heard Scott Frost talking about the running back position, and with Marquise Stepp out now with a foot injury, it's really opened things up. And Gabe Urban, the true freshman out of Georgia, has gotten a lot of reps. But it leads me, gentlemen, to our first question of the mailbag, and it's about running back. You know, should we be concerned about Marvin Scott, Ramir Johnson, Sevion Morrison, and Ronald Tompkins? Like, why aren't they, you know, emerging? And, you know, where are things at with this running back position when you have all these other scholarship guys? And what I would say is I still think it's too early, but to me the warning signs were maybe last year. We just didn't see those breakout moments that you just kind of know. Like, the first time you see a great running back at Nebraska, you pretty much know they're going to be good. And we haven't seen that from those other four backs on the field, maybe other than Ramir Johnson's run at Iowa. I mean, that was probably the only moment that you were like, ooh, okay. But there just hasn't been that, ooh, okay, where Robin stands up in the press box and gets all excited to see an exciting play on the field. And we just haven't seen that happen yet. And hopefully we get to see some of that more in this open practice in the spring game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to guys just being able to stay on the field and stay healthy. The lack of availability from that position from all the way down the depth chart was as big of a problem as anything, where, I mean, you didn't have a guy that was, let alone healthy for 8 games, but even, you know, a fraction of that, where, you know, you're counting on Sevion Morrison. He doesn't even get to see the field. And, you know, Marvin Scott is in and out with injuries. You know, Ronald Tompkins is in and out with injuries. Dedrick Mills even was in and out. And so that, I think, inconsistency and just lack of stability in the rotation not only kept Nebraska's running game from ever getting off the runway, but also really impeded the development of the young guys at that position, to where, you know, really now is the first time they're on a normal track where they actually get a spring and they get to kind of get their feet under them a little bit going into a season. So if they can stay healthy, I think that room has a ton of potential, and they have a lot of guys that could be that type of player, especially when you add in Gabe Urban to the mix. But, you know, it's kind of like receiver, where, you know, as exciting as that potential may be, until they actually prove it on Saturday, there's going to be questions.
Yeah, I've been asked a ton about the running back position, and, you know, why have they struggled to recruit that position so well, or why have they been so poor at identifying talent there? And I don't think that's the case. I just think that they've had bad luck more than anything, because I think there is talent there. But like you said, Robin, they've not had a completely healthy room where all those guys are available for any given point in time. It's always been this guy's out or that guy's out, or multiple guys are missing times at different periods. So it's just one thing after another, unfortunately, for Ryan Held. But you know, if they're able to, I guess, string together some healthy time with at least a handful of these guys, we're going to see some production come from that room.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show as we take your questions in the mailbag. Interesting question, Nate, and you might have the best answer to this. With kickers and punters, is it normal to have a particular coach work with those guys, or do they typically just seek all outside instruction?
Well, I mean, it depends. It's a staff-by-staff thing. You know, sometimes you're going to have at least somebody on the staff who has experience working with kickers and punters and can, you know, at least do, like, some basic drills with those guys or give them basic instruction. But there are times where you don't have anyone on the staff or even a GA or an intern that can, like, help guys behind the scenes, not necessarily on the practice field, but you know, it's been my experience that there's at least somebody, whether it's a full-time coach, a GA, or an intern, that has some experience with that. But it's not an all-the-time deal. And I think that's something where it's become way more prevalent here over the last 10, 15 years where you don't necessarily – there's so much outside instruction nowadays that you don't necessarily have to have a kicking expert on your coaching staff anymore.
You're listening to the Husker Line Show. We take questions in the mailbag. Next question's about the offensive line. In 2019, we maybe underestimated losing Tanner Farmer and Gerald Foster. Why are you so much more confident in 2021 that losing guys like Brendan Hymus and Matt Farniak and even Bo Wilson, why they can just kind of reload and replace that? And what I would say is I just think the program's in a much different place. I think the depth's better. The resumes of these guys in the program are better. Turner Corcoran got to get a start underneath his belt. And, you know, you've got guys like Nuri Nwelle, who started Division I games, who's in contention for a starting job right now. And, you know, I just think there's so many more options and better players on this roster than maybe what was on the roster in 2019.
Yeah, and I think that's a product of the way this staff has been able to slowly but surely develop what the offensive line room looks like. I mean, the guys they're bigger, they're stronger, they're more talented, they have higher recruiting pedigree to them, to where, you know, now you're finally starting to have, you know, a bit of a streamline coming in to where if you lose one of those guys, one of those seniors, it's not this massive drop down. In fact, you can make the case that long term, they might have you know, better players with higher ceilings that are now going to get a chance to see the field in place of those guys. So I think that's kind of the biggest reason for optimism, is that for the first time, certainly since Frost has been here and maybe even long before that, the depth on the offensive line is there. And the makeup physically of this group is where it needs to be competitive in the Big Ten. That you know, the drop off from senior starter to backup isn't so stark as it has been for far too long.
Yeah, the depth and overall potential as far as just the overall talent of these guys is as good as it's been for a very, very long time. I think, you know,
finally a coach has been here long enough to recruit a roster.
Exactly. You've been able to slowly piece it together. Offensive and defensive lines, they don't happen overnight. It happens over 3 or 4 years of continually adding pieces and developing those guys. And now that they've done that and recruited it very well, I mean, you look at the pedigree of some of these guys. I mean, Corcoran and Teddy Prochazka and, you know, Ben Hart. I mean, these are all high four-star type of guys. They're U.S. Army All-American type of guys where that wasn't the case three or four years ago. You didn't have those types of players just waiting in the wings necessarily. So I think that's the reason for optimism is that the depth is good, the competition is good, and what they're working with overall in terms of talent is as good as it's been.
There's just been too many staffs, obviously, at Nebraska with pressure to get their problems solved in one year. And with offensive lines, you can't solve problems in 1 year. It is a slow build.
Yep.
Because if you try to take shortcuts and go JUCO or go transfer, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And I think Nebraska has at least done a good job of building it the right way. And they've still added some quality transfers like Ezra Miller and Nuri Nwelle as walk-ons. So final question, will you guys crush a Runza or Valentino's Pizza at the spring game, being you've had to go a whole year without getting any of your free Husker game day food?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. It's free. I've had plenty of Runza and Valentino's over the last year.
There's
or
something
two.
About that little box, though. Valentino's box. I don't know what it does to the cheese.
It makes it 5% better. There's zero question about it. But yes, if it is available, and I hope that it is, I will certainly imbibe in some Valentino's and Runza. Probably both. I'll go both.
Double.
With some popcorn too, right? Maybe,
maybe. If I'm still hungry.
Well, yeah. I wonder I wonder if popcorn will even be an option. Maybe pre-bagged or pre-boxed. I don't know, but yeah. I mean, if it's there, I'm gonna do it. It's been a long time since I've been, you know, in a stadium for a live event with actual people. So there's no doubt I'm gonna partake in.
Are you a Runza or a Valentino slice guy in the stadium?
I think it depends. If it's cold, I'm more of a Runza guy.
Stays hotter longer.
Yeah, and plus you can use them. You know, you can put them in your coat pocket and kind of stay warm there. But you know, if you're in the press box, I think I'm more of a pizza guy.
Were you guys? Do you remember when there actually was an Amigo stand in the stadium in the early in the '90s? Some point where you could get like crisp meat burritos and cheesies.
Yep. Oh yeah,
that was a game changer.
I don't know why they went away with it.
Money.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
I mean, Pepsi. I mean, Nebraska was a Coke school all the way until Pepsi came in.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other show. They somehow have Diet Dr. Pepper in the press box, which that was a game changer for me because you kind of get Pepsi'd out after a while.
Mm-hmm. Unless you like Pepsi products, which I do.
Yeah. So, Nate's a Mountain Dew guy.
It's, yeah. Just fine by me.
The Mountain Dew is pretty clutch, but you know, if I had to choose Coke, no question. And the fall of Nebraska's program really coincided with the move to Pepsi.
There you go. Wisconsin is RC Cola. Hey, Wisconsin's RC Cola.
Yeah, they had Sun Drop and
Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah, Hawaiian Punch.
Barry Alvarez got a sweetheart deal with RC Cola and Diet Right in their press box. But all right, when we come back, we're going to talk recruiting. The visitor list is getting filled by the day. Nate's going to update us on that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Line Show.